بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مزيدا. أما بعد، فبإذن الله تعالى، by the permission of Allah تبارك وتعالى، we continue in the reading of this amazing book by Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى إغاظة الأهفان في مصائد الشيطان. And that is the supporting of the distressed as it relates to the plots of the shaitan. Today, بإذن الله تعالى، from the chapters and fusul in this book that we're going to deal with is the affair of the whispers of the shaitan, specifically as it relates to al-tahara, purification, yani al-wudu, and likewise as-salah and the whispers during one's prayer, before the prayer and during the prayer. And this, no doubt, is from the plots of shaitan in which he whispers to distract the slave, the ibad, the worshipper of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in fulfilling that which is good for him, the son of Adam. And studying this affair of the waswas and the whispers is indeed something that is muhim. And it comes and it reminds us of the statement of Abi Faris al-Hamadani rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, عرفت الشر لا للشر ولكن لتواقي من جاهل الشر أو من لا يعرف الشر وقع فيه. Where he said in a line of poetry that I know the evil and bad things not just for the purpose of just knowing them, but rather to protect myself. And the one who is ignorant of the evil affairs will sooner or later fall into it. And in the case here, we want to be aware of the affairs of the whispers of the shaitan and how to protect ourselves from the whispers of shaitan. So we will read بإذن الله تعالى the kalam of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, which is in the first volume of إغاظة الأهفان, with some notes that has been taken from the Allama Shaykh Saleh Fawzan hafidhahullah ta'ala. And likewise we will conclude the lesson بإذن الله with some 11 points of advice that one can take and hopefully consume to protect themselves as relates to the waswas and the whispers of shaitan. Before we mention the kalam of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, it's important that we know the difference between waswas and wiswas. Al-waswas with fatha on the waw and the wiswas with the kasra on the first waw. Al-waswas with fatha on the waw is a shaitan. This is shaitan himself. He's al-waswas. And al-wiswas with the kasra, these are the whispers from the shaitan. Hadith al-nafs, yani hadith al-nafs. The whispers from shaitan in which he tries to distract the slave of Allah, the ibad, from fulfilling their purpose in this dunya, and that is to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon ikhlas, sincerity and sunnah. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala after this, he says, وَمِنْ كَيْدِهِ أَلَّذِي بَلَغَ بِهِ مِنَ الْجُهَّالِ مَا بَلَغَ الْوِسْوَاسِ الَّذِي كَادَهُمْ بِهِ فِي أَمْرِ الطَّهَارَةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ عِنْدَ أَقْدِ النِّيَّةِ. He says, rahimahullah, and from the plots of shaitan and his deceptions is that which occurs to the ignorance or the ignorant ones. And that is the waswas, that the shaitan he plots as it relates to at-tahara, purification, wudu, and as-salah, and the prayer when they are about to have the intention, the niyyah, as it relates to the prayer. And this affair is muhim jiddan, ya ikhwah. This affair here of at-tahara as it relates to the waswas my dear beloved brothers and sisters, the wiswas and the whispers from Shaitan. And that is that we find this is a common affair where an individual will be doing wudu and they will be in the wudu area for a long time. And Shaykh Saleh mentions this as well, hafidhahullah ta'ala. They'll be doing wudu, washing and washing and washing constantly because of the wiswas and the whispers that they feel that they hadn't performed the wudu ablution properly. So sometimes these whispers occurs where the individual is doing his purification, either is performing wudu or doing his stinja, cleaning himself after relieving himself or herself, and they stay there up until they even miss the prayer. And this is from the plots of Shaitan, with the individual busy themselves constantly wiping and washing, feeling that they haven't done it properly, that they need to do more. And this is from the plots of Shaitan, in order for them to forfeit their ibadah, their worship, and miss the prayer. And sometimes before Fajr they will do this, and then the adhan for Fajr goes, and the time of Fajr has finished, and they're still doing wudu. And this, no doubt, is from the plots of Shaitan. Which is why, also in the prayer, the niyyah, the individual gets a whisper from Shaitan, where they feel, oh, I don't have the correct niyyah for this salah, so they do talaffud. So they profess the niyyah, the intention, in regarding the prayer. Anwi an usalli salat al-dhahri, or dhuhri, wa anwi an usalli arba'a raka'at. I intend to pray Salatul Dhuhr. I intend to pray four rak'at. The shaitan whispers to them that they feel that they have not made the correct intention, and have not made intention for the salah. So then they profess it with their tongue, which is a bid'ah, because an-niyyah mahaluha al-qalb. An-niyyatu mahaluha al-qalb. Because the intention, its place and its home is in the heart. That movement that occurs in the heart, barakallahu fikum. And likewise, during the salah, the shaitan will whisper to distract the abd from performing the prayer, and make the slave and the servant who is praying believe that their salah has been invalidated because they feel that they must have lost wudu. I must have lost that state of ablution, being in a state of ablution or purity, as it relates to the wudu, so he believes that his salah is not accepted. Which is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, لَا يَنْصَرِفْ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ صَوْتًا أَوْ يَجِدَ رِيحًا. Where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the individual in their salah should not move until they hear a sound, which is a clear indication that they've broken wind, or they smell something, which is also a clear certain indication that they have indeed broken wind. So therefore, na'am, the certainty is there that the wudu is broken. So this shows you the importance of having this ilm and the ahkam and the rulings as it relates to these affairs. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly gives us that yaqeen, which from it comes the principle al-yaqeenu la yazul bishak. Al-yaqeenu, certainty is not removed with doubt. That's from what we take from this hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا ينصرف حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا. You shouldn't move in your salah. Stay in your salah, stay in your prayer, until you hear a sound, which is certainty, that wind has been broken. أو تجد, you see, or you smell, a smell, which again is certainty. And this shows you al-yaqeen la yazulu bishak. And that is certainty is not removed with doubt. This is a principle, usuli. It's a principle. Which is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, وَمِنْ كَيْدِهِ أَلَّذِي بَلَغَ بِهِ مِنَ الْجُهَالِ مَا بَلَغَ. And from the plots that shaitan he plots, regarding the juhal, the people without knowledge. So we have to have knowledge, study books of fiqh, study the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and study principles in usul al-fiqh, and also qawaid al-fiqhiyya, these sciences that we need to study in order to understand the text. And in that it will give us this certainty as it relates to various affairs as we mentioned here. So the waswas is the whispers that Ibn Qayyim mentions here, is the whispers of a shaitan. And through those whispers, Ibn Qayyim says that the shaitan akhrajuhum an ittiba'i sunnati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So through those whispers, the shaitan, he plots to take the person away from the realms of obedience and following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Ibn Qayyim mean regarding this? And that is that the individual, for example, instead of using sufficient water or minimal water as is used by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person transgresses the bounds and uses an excessive amount of water in opposition to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the whispers of shaitan. So the person will be using liters and liters of water in order to perform wudu. And likewise, we find this affairs, Ibn Qayyim, he mentions that this whispers of the shaitan is not only for tahara, it's even more importantly from the affairs of aqidah, where the whispers of shaitan and the plots, he plots as relates to the aqidah and the creed of the individual. And that is due to ignorance and lack in knowledge as relates to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why Ibn Qayyim has mentioned this here, for the talib al-ilm, the student of knowledge, to be aware of the importance of seeking this knowledge of this legislation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy has legislated. And if one seeks this ilm and studies it with tama'un, with focus and tadabbul and reflection, then therefore they will be from those who are not affected by bi'idhnillahi ta'ala the whispers of the shaitan. وَخَيَّلَ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمْ أَنَّمَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ سُنَّةِ لَا يَكْفِي. So the shaitan, he says Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, that he deceives them and gives them this view and deceives them that for them to think that that which has come from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yakfi, it's not sufficient, hatta yadum ilayhi ghayra, until something else is added to it. This is the affair of the tahara as it relates to purification. So the person feels that they need to do more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to do the wudu once, the various parts of the a'dha, the limbs, once, twice, three times, as mentioned in the authentic sunnah. But the person believes they need to do it four times. It's not sufficient. The sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not sufficient. I need to do it again. I need to do tamadmud five times, to wash my mouth five times. And that's from the whispers of shaitan, leading the individual to transgress and oppose the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to miqdar, as it relates to the amount of water used and the amount of times it's been done. He says here, خَيَّلَ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمْ أَنَّمَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ السُنَّةِ لَا يَكْفِي. He puts this distortion into the mind of the individual, deceives them to believe that that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with is not sufficient. فَجَمَعَ لَهُمْ بَيْنَ هَذَا الظَّنِّ الْفَاسِدِ وَالتَّعْبِ الْحَاضِرِ وَبُطْلَانِ الْأَجْرِ أَوْ تَنْقِيسِهِ. He said, so the shaitan in his plots has gathered in this individual who is affected by these whispers two affairs, or three affairs. The first, he's gathered with him having this corrupted thought. This corrupted thought that that which has come with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not sufficient. Being that, for example, the individual has been told the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do the different parts of the body or limbs in wudu more than three times. He'll say that, no, I need to do more. I need to make sure. So this is the punishment, salamakum Allah, the torment rather, that the individual is going through with this bad thought as it relates to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is not sufficient. وَتَعْبِ الْحَاضِرِ, and it exhausts the individual. The individual gets exhausted. Doing wudu is a marathon. Doing wudu takes hours. It has ta'ab. And we know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yusr, is easy. Allah has made it easy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy. And the shaitan will whisper to make this affair of wudu, which is a mighty affair as it relates to ibadah, ablution, tahara, makes the individual find ta'ab. gets worn out, fed up, because of the amount of time they're spending doing the wudu. وَبُطْلَانِ الْأَجْرِ And then their reward is diminished due to the opposition of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it is deficient. أو تَنْقِيسِهِ It is deficient. And that is that the individual has fallen into the affair of ghulu. He's fallen into the affair of extremism as it relates, barakallahu fikum, to the affair of tahara, purification, and so forth. And this transgression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and extremism, Allah has warned against it. And so is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ahl al-kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O people of the book, do not go into extremes and transgress the bounds in your religion. Allah's warned against this. So the shaitan, he whispers. So the part of the religion is wudu. Part of the religion is ibadah, no doubt. Tahara, salah, and so forth. He would like the abd, the son of Adam, due to his jealousy and his enmity to Adam and the sons of Adam and the children of Adam, he wants them to go into extremes. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned against extremity. إِيَّاكْ وَالْغُلُوءِ فَإِنَّمَا مَا أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ إِنَّمَا مَا أَهْلَكَ قَبْلُكُمْ الْغُلُوءِ مَنْ قَبْلُكُمْ الْغُلُوءِ The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, Be cautious as it relates to ghulu. Iyaka wal ghulu. Be cautious as it relates to the affair of going into extremes. Because verily, that which ahlaka man qablakum al ghulu. That which had destroyed those before you was extremism. And this is what shaitan, extremism in every capacity. And this here we're talking about the affair of tahara. And then he says, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, وَلَا رَيْبَ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ هُوَ الدَّاعِي إِلَى الْوِسْوَاسِ And no doubt, the shaitan is the one who is the caller, the propagator of these whispers. فَأَهْلُهُ قَدْ أَطَاعُوا الشَّيْطَانِ The people of shaitan, his people have obeyed him. وَلَبُّ دَعْوَتُهُ وَاتَّبَعَ أَمْرَهُ وَرَغِبُوا عَنْ سُنَّتِي وَعَنْ اتِّبَاعِ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَطَرِيقَتِهِ He said that they followed the call of the shaitan. They welcomed the call of shaitan, obeyed the call of shaitan, and followed his commands. And turned away from the sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and his path. حَتَّى إِنَّ أَحَدَهُمْ لَيَرَى أَنَّهُ إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ وُضُوءَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أو اختصر كاختصاله لم يظهر ولم يرتفع حدث. He said, Rahimullah, that so much so reached the extent that the individual will see that the wudu of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not sufficient. Oh, the ghusl that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not sufficient, and it doesn't fulfill purification. It doesn't purify. And it doesn't lift the hadith. It doesn't lift that state of impurity. And this is from the whispers of shaitan. And Ibn Qayyim he says, رَحْمُ اللَّهُ الْعُذْرُ بِالْجَهَلْ لَكَانَ هَذَا مُشَاقَةً لِرَسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ If it wasn't for the ignorance of the people who fell into this, it will be considered as being in opposition to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوليه ما تولى الآية ومن يشاقق الرسول and whoever opposes the messenger and this statement of مشاقة this meaning of this opposition of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم the ulama have explained that is come from this meaning that you're in one valley And the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in another valley. There is a split. There is a split. There is distance between you and the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the plots of shaitan. In any affair, whether it be aqidah, creed, methodology, manhaj, Or, barakallahu fikum, affairs of ibadah like tahara and like prayer and that's salah. By saying your niyyah, your intention, out there loudly, or by wasting water when doing wudu. And that is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding his wudu, كان يتوضأ بالمد. And that is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do wudu with the amount of water of mud, which is mentioned in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. Ibn Qayyim mentions this. And mud is about 550 milliliters. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to use that to do wudu. وَيَغْتَسُ بِسْفَاعَ. And he used to do ghusl sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the amount of a sa'a, which is equates to around 2.5 liters as we know it today. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to use, the amount of water that he uses sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the wiswas and the whispers will cause the individual to use liters upon liters of water in order to satisfy themselves that they have indeed effectively done wudu or ghusl. And that's from the whispers of shaitan. And we'll deal with the ilaj and the cure as it relates to this, barakallahu fikum bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But for us to know the khutura and the dangers of this, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned after describing and the affair of wudu was described for us, how the wudu that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed was. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من زاد عليها فقد أساء وتعدى والظلم. In this hadith, which is in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood رحمه الله تعالى وغيره, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said in this hadith of Abu Huraira, that whoever does more has indeed done wrong, has indeed transgressed, has indeed oppressed. Who does more and exceeds that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the shaitan, he, barakallahu fikum, whispers in this regard. Another type of whisper as relates to the tahara that occurs with the shaitan is as relates to sharing a vessel in doing wudu with your wife. Meaning sharing the same vessel with water to do wudu. That the individual believes that the mixing of the skin of the wife in the water, or the touching of the wife in the water, or the touching of the husband in the water, makes the wudu unusable as it relates to purification, or the water unusable as it relates to purification. This from the whispers of shaitan. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان يغتسل هو وعائشة رضي الله عنها. Him and Aisha رضي الله عنها, they used to do wudu and ghusl from the same vessel. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anha. And this is from the sunnah. But if the person who is muwaswas, the one who is muwaswas, the one that has received the whispers, they feel that this is not sufficient. And this water is not sufficient for them both to do ghusl. And this is from the whispers. And many don't realize this. It's from the whispers of shaitan. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indeed shared the vessel with his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, other than her, Maymuna, as relates to doing ghusl and purification. After this, my dear beloved brothers, and my dear beloved sisters, listen to some of the athar of the Salaf that Ibn Qayyim he brings as relates to this affair. He said, rahimullah, قال الإمام أحمد, that Imam Ahmad rahimullah ta'ala, he said, من فقه الرجل, from the understanding of an individual, قلة ولوعه الماء, بالماء. And that is his minimal usage of ماء, water, is from the understanding of the individual. Showing the importance, ya ibadallah, of knowing the shama'il and the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he was. And by having this knowledge, the individual can fight the ignorance that shaitan wants to whisper into the abd, into the slave, for them to oppose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's also reported that Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, kana Ahmed yatawadda fala yakadu yabull al-thara, fala yakadu yabull al-thara. And that is that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, when he used to do wudu, he used to do ablution, it said that it's almost as if the amount of water that he used would not wet stone. Stone will not become mud, or the turab, the stone, or the gravel, or what have you, will not become mud. Almost as if it wasn't touched. The minimal amount of water that Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So it's important for us to reflect upon this introduction, this half an hour introduction that we've mentioned, to show the severity of this affair with the whispers from the shaitan, as it relates to the wudu, and as it relates to the salah. However, this no doubt, barakallahu fikum, the points as it relates to the way to combat and protect oneself from these wiswas and these whispers from a shaitan, no doubt it applies to a tahara, purification, and a salah, but indeed it applies to everything. So as we go through these 10 or 11 points, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, it's something which one can relate to for all aspects of the whispers from a shaitan. And from them is the affair of talaq, the whispers of the shaitan as it relates to divorce, where an individual is unaware whether he divorced his wife or not. He doesn't know whether he said anti-taliqi or ataliqa or anything. He doesn't know what he said. She doesn't know. He doesn't know. His anger overwhelmed him from the whispers of shaitan. And that's another chapter in itself. But generally, these points that we're going to mention and we read together, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, inshallah, should be ways for us to combat the waswas and the whispers of the shaitan. The first point I'm going to mention, barakallahu fikum, is that the individual has to have yaqeen and certainty that the whispers of shaitan is weak. That the whispers of shaitan is weak. This is something that the person has to know and remember. And that is that the Messenger sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him khannas. He called the whispers of the shaitan khannas. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that khannas as well. And khannas, it means it's weak. Da'ifun amam iddat al-mu'min fil ma'aka. Some have said that it's weak when it's confronted. The whispers is weak. They are weak. They are weak. That's the first meaning of khannas. That it's weak. But also, it also means that it's perpetual, it's constant. It's weak but constant. So the person who is afflicted by this has to have the yaqeen and the certainty that it's weak. And they can fight it with the aid of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And treat it as if it's a ma'raka, it's a war. And as we know, barakallahu fikum, there's the jihad of the nafs, there's the jihad of the oneself, fighting oneself and the desires to maintain the obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And likewise, there's the jihad of shaitan, fighting the shaitan. And everyone has to be ready for this ma'raka, for this long-lasting war. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us the tools and the weaponry in order to fight this war with the shaitan and the whispers. So we have to know that the qaid of shaitan is da'ifa. And now we know that the qaid and the plots of the shaitan is weak. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith, فَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى خَنَّسْ وَإِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى خَنَّسْ وَإِذَا غَفَلَ وَسْوَسْ. Where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that when Allah, or when the slave, the abd, mentions Allah, when the slave mentions Allah, khannas, the shaitan becomes weak. وَإِذَا غَفَلَ, but when the servant becomes negligent as it relates to the remembrance of Allah, waswas, then the whispers come. So we have to be ready and have this armory of taqwa, armory to combat the weak, constant attack of the shaitan. Number two, and that is that the individual should not forget the remembrance of Allah. as we've alluded to previously. And that is that the person must remember Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and their tongue must be moist in the remembrance of Allah. And this incorporates the azkar and the supplications which has been legislated in the Quran and the Sunnah. The azkar of entering the house, the azkar that we mention when we eat or before we eat and saying Bismillah, the azkar of going into the bathroom, the azkar and the remembrance and the supplications when leaving the bathroom, the supplications when walking to the masjid, the supplications for the men, supplications when entering the masjid or for those who are going to the masjid, and the supplication for leaving the masjid, the supplication for entering a car, the supplication for going into a foreign place, the supplication when you are going up, for example, even in the lift, as it is an automobile relatively, there is supplication for that. We have to study these supplications and learn the fiqh and the understanding of these supplications. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that we have to have the istihdar al-qalb. We have to have that heart that is aware, that heart that is awake to the meaning. We just don't say it as lip service, but rather we understand it, we consume it. We consume it more than we consume water and more than we consume food. We consume the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance, the meaning, the fiqh, the tawheed. The jewels of these alfaz, shar'iyyah, legislated wordings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And from this comes the affair of the adhan. The affair of the adhan. And that we can say is point number three. That we can say is point number three. And that is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ أَدْبَرَ الشَّيْطَانُ وَلَهُ ضُرَاطٌ. And that is the adhan wards away the shaitan and his whispers. In that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, which is in the Sahihain Bukhari and Muslim, that when the muadhin calls the adhan, the shaitan, he runs away. And the shaitan makes a sound, rather. He makes a sound, like a farting type sound. حَتَّى لَا يَسْمَعَ التَّأْذِينَ. So he can't hear the adhan, because he can't deal with the adhan. فَإِذَا قَضَى التَّأْذِينَ أَقْبَلَ. And when the adhan is finished, he comes back. فَإِذَا ثَوَّبَ بِالصَّلَاةِ أَدْبَرَ. And then when the iqama comes, and the iqama is called, he goes back and he steps back. And that is that he can't deal with the tawheed that is mentioned in the adhan. The Allahu Akbar, the Allahu Akbar, the La ilaha illallah, the Muhammad Rasulullah, itiba'a, following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and attesting to the shahada here that he is the Messenger of Allah, hayya ala salah, calling to salah, come to salah, which is indeed a lofty ibadah. He can't take that. That worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone, wa anna al-masajid lillah. The masajid are for Allah, the limbs that are done for prostration is for Allah. Shaitan can't deal with this. Hayya ala falah, he can't deal with the fact that you're calling them to success. So from the affairs, as is mentioned by Ibn Jawzi rahimullah, not other than him, that the shaitan can't deal with this based upon this hadith. يَشْتَدُّ إِنْزِعَاجُ الشَّيْطَانِ بِسَبَبِهَا. He mentions Ibn Jawzi that the shaitan becomes extremely annoyed because of this adhan. And if we have to reflect upon the adhan, ya ibadallah, it deserves a mujallad, a big volume in the benefits of the adhan, and that call to tawheed, and the call to ittiba', and the call to worshipping Allah in salah alone, and the call to success, and then going back again to the tawheed, and glorifying Allah again with tawheed, and attesting to la ilaha illallah. The shaitan cannot deal with this. إذا أذن المؤذن أدبر الشيطان وله الضراب. When the Adhan has been proclaimed and called, he steps back. He can't deal with that. So this shows the importance of saying the Adhan and the importance of answering the call of the Adhan when the Muaddin is calling it. And likewise, regarding the Dhikr of Allah, which we forgot to mention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, that verily those who have taqwa. So we can say number four, if you like, is having taqwa. Those who have taqwa, when there is indeed a whisper from shaitan, they remember Allah. They remember Allah and they are filled with insight. There are people who remember Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, that verily those who have taqwa, the people of taqwa, تَذَكَّرُوا, they remember, because there are people of taqwa who fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And fearing Allah, and having a taqwa is fi'l al-awamir wa tark al-nawahi. And that is fulfilling the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions. When there is this whisper, they remember Allah ala tool. So we have to be a people of taqwa. And number five, from the affairs that's been mentioned by the ulama, is this deception of shaitan that the individual is being cautious. And if we can title this in another way, we can say having caution that has proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, from the ways of one protecting themselves from this wiswas and whispers, is being cautious. No doubt it's praiseworthy, but it has to be according to the Sunnah, the Quran and Sunnah, not according to one's whims and one's desires. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-halalu bayyin, wal-haramu bayyin, wa baynahuma mushtabihat, la ya'lamuhunna kathiru minan nas. Faman ittaqa shubahat, istabra'a li dinihi wa irdihi. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. What the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the halal affairs are clear, the haram impermissible affairs are clear, and between them are affairs that are doubtful. Majority of the people don't know, or a lot of the people don't know, rather. So the one who is cautious regarding these doubtful affairs has indeed maintained his honor and his religion. And the one who falls into these doubtful affairs has fallen into the haram, because those doubtful affairs have some doubt in that regard, so they leave it. It is not clearly halal and it is not clearly haram. So they have the knowledge of what is halal and they have the knowledge of what is haram. And these doubtful matters which aren't legislated, they stay away from it. That's the legislative cautiousness, where it's measured according to the halal and the haram. It's measured according to the Quran and the Sunnah. But an example of that cautiousness that is impermissible, or the cautiousness that we need to stay away from in order to combat the waswas and the whispers of shaitan, is that cautiousness that has no proofs or evidences. It's from tawahum. Mujarrad al-tawahum, just a simple conjured up affair that the individual has cooked up. And an example of this is tark al-tazawwuj min al-nisa fi baladin kabir khashyatan an yakuna lahu fiha mahram bi nasabin aw ridaa. And that is that, for example, there's a big country, and an individual doesn't want to marry anyone in that big country. It's a huge country, millions of people in that country. Doesn't want to marry anyone in that country or that place because he fears that he may have, some of those women may be possibly a suckling sister or related to them through suckling. So this is cautiousness with no evidence. He's just cooked it up in his head. He hasn't got any proofs, hasn't got any qara'in. So he goes, I'm not going to marry in Yemen because I know that possibly out of those millions of people, I may have a sister who is a suckling sister or a sister through suckling. Rida'a. And this is wiswas. He has no evidence, no proofs. لمجرد الاحتمال. Just because it's possible that it could occur. Therefore, the person has based a ruling based upon that. No, it has to have qara'in, has to have indicators, clear proofs that indeed is free from any type of obscurity in that regard. And another example is istimal al-ma or adam al-wara fi istimal al-ma. An individual said they have cautiousness in using water because لمجرد احتمال وقوع نجاسة فيه. An individual says they're not going to have wudu with a particular water because they believe that it's possible that it could have impurities. They don't have any type of indicators. They don't have any proofs or evidence. But say it's possible because it's possible, then inshallah, then I'm not going to use that water. That is wiswas. And when the individual keeps doing these affairs and using these precautionary affairs that have no proof or evidences, this is where the shaytan yatasallat alayhi. This is where the shaitan overwhelms the individual and takes control of the individual because the individual is not basing their actions upon the Quran and the Sunnah. Which is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that أخرجهم أن اتباع سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Taking them away from following the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not basing their actions upon the Sunnah, basing upon illusion. Something that they've conjured up, and the shaitan jumps on this and whispers. That's number five. Number six, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, from the ilaj and the cures, you can say, of whispers, if an individual is affected by whispers, the advice which is mentioned by Ibn Hajar al-Haythami, rahimahullah ta'ala, and some of the ulama of before, and likewise from the ulama of today, from them, Shaykhana Ubaid, in many occasions, is advised with this. And that is that the individual combats this wiswas by ignoring it. Al-i'rad anha jumlatan kafiyah. You ignore the whispers totally. What does that mean? It means if the individual has this whispers of shak and doubt that is coming, and he understands al-yaqeen la yazulu bi-shak, certainty, which is the origin, for example, in a situation and what have you, is not removed by simple doubt. So the individual, when they have these whispers, barakallahu fikum, they ignore it as if it didn't happen. Jumlatan kafiyah, al-i'rad, they turn away from it. Lahu dawa nafi'. Ibn Hajar Haytham, he said, lahu dawa'un nafi'un. There is a beneficial cure for this, and that is ignoring it. Turning away from it. Don't talk about it. Don't ponder over it. Don't act according to it. The moment that you act according to that whisper, that is where the shukuk and the doubt starts coming. And the wiswas increase. The wiswas increase. Which is why the ulama have advised that individuals should ignore the whispers totally. It occurs. Yes, it has. Yes, it does, and probably will, but you ignore it. And this is the advice that Shaykhana Ubaid, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, has advised for the past couple of decades, from my experience with him, for individuals who are experiencing these whispers. For example, I didn't watch this properly, ignore it. Oh, I think I didn't do, ignore it. Don't talk about it. Don't, after you finish doing wudu, go to your friend and start speaking about it. Ignore it, and by ignoring it, it will indeed, by the permission of Allah, decrease. Number seven. And that is that the individual who, for example, is affected by the wiswas, the whispers, needs to have this certainty and this yaqeen. أَنَّ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. The person has to have this certainty. Again, this is connected to Tawheed. And that is that the individual must have this certainty and this belief that that which Allah wills will occur, and that which Allah doesn't will not occur. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that they do not will except that Allah, the Lord of all worlds, wills. So you have this yaqeen, and you know that it's a trial from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So you implement ibadah. You implement the worship of iman in qadr, and iman in the will of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, that all occurs due to the will of Allah. And it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the test that Allah tests the people is death. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wherever you are, death could come to you. Based on the will of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So the individual doesn't have this fear of death. Meaning, oh, I could die if I do this. La. He has this fear of the condition that he dies, hoping that he dies in the condition of worshipping Allah upon sincerity, upon sunnah, and fears the opposite. So the individual who's going through this affair of whispers, he has this certainty that it's from the will of Allah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed the one who will aid him. So then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he remembers number 8. Point number 8. And that is that he remembers the kindness of Allah to his slave. That if we go through any trials, that it is from the kindness of Allah in reality. We have an opportunity to implement another type of ibadah, another type of worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing it to harm us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَفَعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Nisa, what would Allah do with your punishment if you are grateful and you believe? Why should Allah punish you if you are grateful and you believe? It's a test to raise you. And Allah is ever appreciative and all-knowing. So we have to have this good husn al-dhan with Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And from this, it angers the shaitan. That the believer, barakallahu fikum, is indeed having good thoughts with Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all kind. And this is a trial. And he can use the slave, the servant, this trial with the whispers to increase in worship in him. To increase in worship in him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to increase in having good thoughts in Allah. Which brings us to point number 9. And that is that he is mutawakkil. Yatawakkil ala Allah. In order to increase in the warding off of the whispers, or if an individual is afflicted by wiswas and the whispers from shaitan, that individual has to be da'iman mutawakkil ala Allah. Mutawakkilan ala Allah. That person has to be constantly trusting in Allah and turning to Allah and relying on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this relying on Allah means that they turn to Allah in these times of affliction. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ وَفِي آيَةٍ أُخْرَى إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, barakallahu fikum, and if an evil suggestion, wiswas, comes to you from shaitan, then seek refuge in Allah, turn to Allah, trust in Allah. Indeed, he is hearing and knowing. He is hearing, the all-hearing and the all-knowing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to have this iman in the names and attributes of Allah tabarakahu ta'ala, that he is the all-knowing and all-hearing. And you fulfill the act of ibadah of al-isti'adha, seeking refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and from that is the dalil of your tawakkul, and from that is your dalil and your proof, the proof of your trusting in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah said, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, and seek refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Seek refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we go on after this to the 10th way or method that the individual can use to ward off the wiswas and also to cure and make it have ilaj, curing the whispers that may be troubling the individual. And that is kathrat al-du'a, supplicating to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a lot. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَاعٍ فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلِيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and if my servants, they ask you regarding me, then say, I am close. I answer the da'wah, the call, the supplication of the one that is supplication when they supplicate. So obey Allah in His commandments and stay away from His prohibitions and have iman in Allah that you will be guided. So we have to be consistent in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes asking Allah in sujood. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أقرب ما يكون العبد لربه في السجود. The closest, or كما قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closest that the servant is to their Lord is in sujood. We ask Allah in sujood. You're having wiswas, you're having whispers, don't complain. Don't let it affect others around you. When you're in sujood, ask the Lord of the heavens and the earth, رب السماوات والأرض. Ask Him for aid. Implement tawheed in dua, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Implement worship in dua, supplication is worship. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for aid and assistance and for faraj and to relieve you from this issue and torment of wiswas. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. So that means making dua in sujood, making dua between the adhan and iqama, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before taslim, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you break your fast or when you're fasting, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third of the night, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raising your hands as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names, subhanahu, His beautiful names, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having iman in these beautiful names, and having the correct aqidah and creed as relates to these beautiful names. Ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ibn Qayyim also mentioned, bistihdar al-qalb, again, with a heart that is awake, not just lip service. Mean what you're asking, and understand what you are asking, for that relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In tansurullah yansurkum, if you obey Allah, Allah will aid you and relieve you from the wiswas and the whispers of shaitan. Number 11, and that is al-bu'd an al-ma'asi wal-mukhalafat, and that is staying away from sins. It's one of the ways to protect yourself from the whispers of shaitan. And if you're afflicted by the whispers of shaitan, again, be strict in staying away from ma'asi, staying away from sins, and opposition to the legislation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because this is the means and the reasons why the shaitan takes control. يَتَسَلَّتْ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ, takes control. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nahl, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that shaitan does not have any authority, has no control over the ones who believe. And as we know, belief encompasses all affairs in obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and believing in Allah and obeying Him and staying away from His prohibitions. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and they trust in their Lord. Again, tawakkul. So the person who is believes in Allah, and this is Surah An-Nahl verse 99, important verse, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ, shaitan does not have any authority over the people who believe in Allah, those who do good deeds, those who obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because the wiswas, نَوْءٌ مِنَ الْمَرَضِ, because the whispering is indeed a type of sickness, May Allah protect us all. And it is the sickness of shaitan taking control of the individual. So then he can make the person feel despaired and feel depressed. So from the ways to remove this tasallut, this control of shaitan, is to turn to the obedience of Allah and eliminate every act and those acts that's in your life that is from the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we can be from the people of taqwa and be from those who have iman in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as we know, iman, belief in the aqeed of Ahl Sunnah, is qawlu bil lisan wa itiqadu bil janan wal amlu bil arkan, is the statement of the heart, so you statement of the tongue. So you're careful with what you speak and what you say that is in accordance to the obedience of Allah. This is iman. Wal itiqadu fil janan, make sure your aqeed is correct, your belief is according to that which Allah legislated. Wal amlu bil arkan, and your limbs and your actions, which is part of your iman, is in accordance to the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. He doesn't, shaitan does not have any authority and effect on those who believe and those who put their trust in their Lord. And with this we conclude today's lesson. Barakallahu feekum jami'an. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us be from those who are indeed, barakallahu feekum, those who trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and obey him and follow his legislation, and indeed belief in him and act in accordance to his obedience subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.